listening to the Miracle Word Podcast. We believe that the Word of God gives you the power to experience never-ending increase in every area. If you're ready for revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here's your host, evangelist, author, and founder of Miracle Word University, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
It's going to be an important topic. I'm going to jump right in because we got a lot to talk about. As I told you yesterday, today I'm going to share with you the seven books that took me and Carolyn from a place of being in debt to a place of financial abundance and increase. And I know that these will do the same for you. They'll help you in the exact same way that they helped Carolyn and me. So I'm going to show you that, but for people that may be new and they're jumping on because of the title, or they may be watching this later on YouTube and you're not familiar with this channel, let me start by saying that as a Christian, God wants you to be financially blessed. God wants you to be. It's His desire for His people to be blessed financially. I'm going to take you back to start this before I give you the seven books and break them down. I want to read to you once again Deuteronomy 28, because this was God's desire for Israel, for His people Israel. And His desire for His New Testament children is even greater. His covenant with His New Testament children is even greater than the one that He made with Israel. So look at His desire for His Old Testament people. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, you should know it well by now. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed will you be in the city, and blessed will you be in the field. Blessed will be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed will you be when you come in and when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And He'll bless you in the land that the Lord your God's giving you. And the Lord will establish you as a people holy to Himself that He's sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. All the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. And the Lord will open to you His good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the works of your hands. And you'll lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Amen. So understand, that was His desire all the way back in the Old Testament. And so I want you to know, and of course, as we'll look at later, even from the book of Proverbs, this is not an American message. This is not a Western hemisphere message. This doesn't only apply to North America or North and South America or to countries that are more developed. This is a biblical message. It's God's desire for His children. So I don't care if you're in a third world nation, an underdeveloped nation, God's desire for you is that you be blessed, abundantly blessed. Prosperity is having more than enough to complete your purpose and to be able to be a blessing in your generation to others that are around you. More than enough. Not to just have your needs met. That's not God. Is that what it sounded like when I read that? That I'm just going to meet your needs. No. It doesn't mean to just meet your needs. To have an abundance. To have more than enough. Notice one of the promises in Deuteronomy 28 for the Israelites. You will lend to many nations and you'll not borrow. You cannot lend if all you have is enough to meet your needs. because the moment you've met all your own needs, all of your resources are extinguished. So in order to lend to other people, other nations, whatever it might be, you have to have more than enough to meet your own needs. So God's desire is not, how could you ever bless the poor as we do every single day? How could you have more than enough to tithe or to give or to bless others in your generation if all you have is enough to meet your needs? That's not the desire of God. It's not just to meet your needs. He's a God of more than enough. He's a God of abundance. He's a provider. And so if you look at his covenant people throughout the Bible, they were in a place of more than enough. And it was because of their obedience, as this scripture here clearly states. Now, are there poor Christians? Absolutely, there are poor Christians. But does that mean that it's God's desire? No, absolutely, it's not God's desire. I'll give you an example. Paul, in his ministry, made it a point to bless those Christians that were in need. So if he saw there were Christians in need, what did he do? He would even take an offering from those who were walking in abundance to bless those who didn't have enough. Not only that, it was one of the things commanded by the Jerusalem apostles for all Gentile believers, that they continue to bless the poor. So there are poor Christians, just like there are sick Christians. But is it God's desire that Christians be sick? No. Is it God's desire that they be poor? No. And so there are things that we can do practically in obedience to the Word of God that will help us. Well, today I want to give you 7 books that helped me immensely, helped Carolyn. We started off in our marriage because I had made some poor choices in debt. And God quickly, as we employed these principles, God quickly brought us out of debt and brought us into a place of abundance. And I'll show you, these 7 books helped us a lot. And I know they'll do the same for you. Some of them you may have already read, some of them you may have not, and some of them you may have never heard of. But wherever that is on the spectrum for you, get these, because they truly will help you a lot, as they helped us. So some of them are scriptural. Some of, like, for example, written by ministers. Some of them are practical and books of just containing wisdom that are scriptural principles. And so I'll show them to you as we go one by one. But I want to start off with what I consider to be the very best book ever written on the subject of prosperity. And if you're new to this channel, you'll find out very quickly, I'm not against the message of prosperity and abundance. I'm not against the message of increase. I'm very much for it. I believe in it. I preach it. I live it. And I consider this to be the very best book ever written on the subject of prosperity. And that is Understanding Financial Prosperity by Bishop David Oyedepo. This book, which is what, 382 pages of straight up revelation on the subject of financial prosperity. The reason that it's such a mind-blowing thing is because if you think that the only portion of the message of prosperity is sowing and reaping, one thing that you'll be amazed to find is if you look at the contents page of this book, you'll find out that there's only a small portion of this book that actually has to do with sowing and reaping financially. Look at this. Of the almost 400 pages of this book, only that much right there that's in between my fingers deals with giving. Of the 400 pages, only that much right there deals with giving, which is mind-blowing. So, and another reason that I like this book a lot is because he is writing this from a third world nation. It's a nation that's not as developed as other nations in the Western Hemisphere. He's in Nigeria. So, and he's not even in Lagos, Nigeria. Bishop Oyedepo is in a place called Ota, Nigeria, a place they built called Canaan Land in Ota, Nigeria, which is up in the woods north of Lagos. And before that, it was the place where the witches stayed and hung out. And they cleared that region out and built their church that seats 55,000 people. And every Sunday they have five services that have about 95,000 people in attendance between the sanctuary and the tents outside, and they're operating in abundance. They're getting ready to build an auditorium that seats 100,000 people, and the children's church seats 10,000 people, that will cost $376 million, and they're going to pay cash. So don't tell me that this is a Western message, and don't tell me that this is an American gospel. This is not America. He's writing this from Ota, Nigeria, and God is abundantly blessing not only his ministry, the people. He prayed and said, Lord, if you won't bless my people, don't bless me. If you won't bless my people, don't bless me. And his people are blessed, and he is blessed, and the church is blessed. They're able to build 30,000 homes. I mean, creating their own city, their own banks. I mean, they have their own banks. I believe four of them. They have four banks. I believe they have two power plants that they own. Two power plants. They had a fleet of planes at the airport in Lagos. They are blessed to be a blessing. And it's because they've obeyed the covenant principles. And so this one, if you're a Christian and you don't have this book, Understanding Financial Prosperity, you need to get this immediately. And I believe you can even get this on Amazon. And by the way, if you're just jumping on, share this today. It will help people a lot. And so this deals with other prerequisites to be blessed in the kingdom of God. This deals with other prerequisites. It's not just about giving. It deals with the power of holiness, dedication, consecration, the word of God, integrity, working. It deals with all of the different biblical principles that are necessary to walk in financial abundance. And so without question, I have to tell you that this is the best book by a minister ever written on financial prosperity. Yes, I can spell his last name. It's O-Y-E. Maddie, put it in the comments for everybody. O-Y-E. You can put the full name, David Oyedepo. O-Y-E-D-E-P-O. That's his name. And she's going to put it in the comments for everybody to see. There it is. It's David O. Oyedepo. And his church is just explosive. Explosive. I heard him say that they average over 1,000 salvations a week. 1,000 salvations a week. And so, if you don't have this, you need to grab it. This took me up multiple, his teaching. I started listening to him years ago, and even his teaching on YouTube. And they have a YouTube channel where everything they do is posted to their YouTube channel. Their prayer services, their Sunday services, their midweek services, everything. And so you got to see this. This is not just theory. This is working for them, not in America, not in Tulsa, not in New York City, not in Atlanta, in Ota, Nigeria. In Ota, Nigeria. And let me tell you another thing, because there's people that'll jump on and be like, well, that's because those preachers in other nations manipulate those Christians to give, and they're poor anyway, but they manipulate those Christians to give them all their money. Go watch, I encourage you, go watch their services. Go watch their church services. It is the most, I don't know how to say it, it's the most underwhelming offering that you'll ever see taken in a church service. Less time on talking about money than any church I've ever seen. They simply, I mean, he'll teach and preach on it in a series, but when they take the offering, he's not up there hammering the people. If you don't give, they literally receive it quickly and it's done. And people sow. The same way he calls people to Christ, and there's a dynamic response. It's because they've been taught what the Word of God says, and they respond. It's not because he manipulates, and it's not because it's none of that. And if you think the reason that they're blessed, I don't care if you say, well, you know, Nigeria is a poor nation, and so he's manipulating those people to give. Try going to a poor nation. I don't care how good of a manipulator you are. Try going to some third world nation and raising $376 million U.S. dollars from people that are impoverished. Do your very best. That's a miracle, my friend. That is God's hand. That is God's hand on that ministry. It's because they're obeying the covenant. And I'm with Kemba. Buy any and every book that Bishop Oyedepo has ever written. Buy any and every book that Bishop Oyedepo has ever written. Every one of them is a gem. Every one of them. And so anyone you can get it. I agree with Kemba on that. And so this one is number one. This book helped us immensely. And his teaching on blessing, prosperity, helped us immensely. Even seeds that I've sown into his life personally took us to another level. It shows me that God is operating in that ministry on a different plane. This will help you. So, Understanding Financial Prosperity, Bishop David Oyedepo, the greatest book on prosperity ever written, in my opinion. Get that one for sure. At the beginning, when we were very young and we were learning principles about finance and putting these things into practice in our own lives, one of the things that helped us a lot, and I know this is controversial for some Christians, but I'll tell you, this book right here, The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. This book helped us. I know there's Christians that can't stand Dave Ramsey, and I know there's Christians that love Dave Ramsey. So it's one of those weird situations where people either love him or they can't stand him. I love him. I think he's a good man. I've never heard him. I've actually heard him do the opposite. I've never heard him tell people to stop tithing or giving to God in the middle of getting out of debt, which is why I appreciate him. And he actually pushes the fact that you need to be debt-free and wealthy so that you can be a giver, a greater blessing. And he is a Christian, and all the things that he teaches, he uses scripture and gives biblical principles. And he has multiple books out, but this one helped us a lot. The Total Money Makeover. If you've ever gone through Financial Peace University or any of that, you'll understand that he employs something he created called the Baby Steps. And I know there's people that don't agree with his take on finance. But let me just say to you something that he said in the book that will help you. Personal finance is only 10% knowledge. It's only 10% knowledge. It's 90% discipline, right? Get that. Put that in the comments today. Personal finance or any finance, it's only 10% knowledge, but it's 90% discipline. It's 10% knowledge, 90% discipline. So what's the point? When you read a book that he's written like this one, Total Money Makeover, the reason it's written the way that it is, and the reason that he gives the advice the way that he gives it, is because he understands that, you know, 90% of Americans are in debt, credit card debt. You know, I'm talking about very, very destructive debt. He understands that 90% of Americans plus are in debt, living beyond their means. He also understands that that means that it's most of them, it's because they have no personal discipline. Most of them have no personal discipline. Most of them have no goal, no plan, no budget, no discipline whatsoever. And so they live beyond their means, and as a result, they're in a dangerous place of debt. He also understands, by giving these steps the way that he gives them, that if, I think he said 92% of Americans, if they had a $500 emergency, they would have to put that on a credit card because they don't have enough liquid cash to take care of a $500 emergency, because the majority of Americans go paycheck to paycheck. And the goal is to get you out of that position, to get you out of debt, to get you in a place of abundance, to a place where you can actually be a blessing in your generation. And the baby steps that he's created will definitely help you do that. They helped us, and I know they'll help you. I won't take the time to go through the baby steps. That's all in the book. But I can tell you this, when you put down an actual goal and have an actual plan in place, you know, maybe for example, you grew up in a home where your parents weren't even good with money or didn't have money, never taught you about money. And so you came to the next generation, you became an adult, and now you don't have any imparted wisdom on finances. You don't have any imparted wisdom on what to do with a budget or how to make goals or how to stick to it. Maybe you came from a home where, you know, everybody in the home was a big spender and not a saver, not a planner, and irresponsible. That got drilled into you as a child. And you can come into your marriage and into your adult years and miss out on blessing because you're actually going against the scripture. And I'll show you that in a little bit. You're going against the scripture by living that way. This book is written in such a way that he helps you with that mindset so that if you didn't come from a family that taught you about finance, that taught you what to do, the disciplines that you need, how to make life work in a way that is pleasing to God financially, this book will help you. It'll get you, it'll set you a plan. Chandra says, should an emergency fund be more than $1,000 though, compared to the average cost of living today? That's only the first step. That's not the full emergency fund. He's just saying to put that together while you're getting out of debt. And then by the next step after that, you're putting a fully funded emergency fund, which is 3 to 6 months of your income. So I think obviously a true emergency fund will have more, but that's just so that if you have an emergency, you don't go back to putting it on credit cards. So I understand what you're saying, but the fully funded emergency fund is where it's at. This will help you. And this will give you goals, strategies, and set you in position to start getting out of that place of debt, which is not God's plan for the believer, and to put you in a place of abundance and increase. That will help you. That's number two. This one, if you've never read it, is extremely interesting and extremely helpful. Book number three that helped us a lot is called The Millionaire Next Door. If you've not read this book or even heard of it, I don't have the dust jacket on, so it just looks like there's nothing on it. But The Millionaire Next Door, if you've never read this book, you need to grab it. It's an extremely interesting case study where they took the time to study wealthy people, millionaires, and find out what makes them different than everybody else. What makes these millionaires stand out from everybody else in the United States? What's the story? Because did you know the majority of millionaires in the United States of America, you would never know they're a millionaire by looking at them. You'd never know it. That's why it's called The Millionaire Next Door. It could be your next door neighbor your whole life. You have no idea that they're millionaires, but they are. And that's what they point out in this book, that 80% of millionaires plus are actually first generation millionaires. Think about how crazy that is right there. And also what kind of opportunity that means for you and your family. 80% of millionaires in the United States are first generation millionaires. That means they did not inherit their money. That means that nobody gave them millions of dollars. Sometimes we have this mindset like, yeah, he has a trust fund, or yeah, his dad and mom gave him all that money. But 80% plus are first generation millionaires, which means they made the $1 million plus. And that gives you a goal to shoot for. You. And in this book, The Millionaire Next Door, you know, my grandfather was like that. My mom's dad and is like that. You know, you'd have never assumed that he was a millionaire. You'd have never known. He lived in a small house in Providence, Rhode Island, worked at a power plant for his whole life, Narragansett Electric in Providence, Rhode Island. And he drove what looked like a used car, but retired. When he retired to the Villages in Florida, he's a millionaire. Why? You would have never known it. None of his neighbors would have known it. He wasn't driving around in Mercedes-Benz and living in a mansion and, you know, wearing Gucci loafers. That was totally against his character. And looking at him, you'd have never known that he had that kind of money. But he had that kind of, and has that kind of money, because he's like the very person that this book is talking about is who my grandfather is. The very person. And he's still living. He's still in Florida. But this is the very person that he is. And this is what it's talking about. And they did a study on what made millionaires like that. And they give 7 factors in this book that make the millionaire next door the millionaire they are. 7 factors they study and figured out why 80% of millionaires are first generation rich. And they go through these 7 things in the book because they were common traits throughout all of the millionaires that they studied. And they saw these common threads and put it into this book to help you, because all seven of these things, obviously, are seven things you can do. It doesn't take anyone special to be able to do these things. Any person can do these things. And these seven things are what made them wealthy in their life. So if you've not gotten The Millionaire Next Door, it's by Stanley and Danko. And I don't know if they have their names. Yeah, it's T.J. Stanley and W.D. Danko. Thomas Stanley and William Danko. Stanley and Danko, The Millionaire Next Door. I'm sure you'll be the first thing when you search on Amazon, it'll be the first one that comes up. And grab that. Number three, that will show you how to go. I don't care if you came from an extremely impoverished family. It doesn't matter. I want you to put this in the comments before we go to the next book. Put this in the comments. I have an opportunity to become very wealthy. I want you to put that in the comments. I have an opportunity to become very wealthy. Maybe you've never thought from that perspective before, and you've kind of thought from that perspective of, well, this is what my family was like. This is what everybody around me is like. This is what I'll be like. You know, hopefully my kids will do better than me. No. And I don't care if you're 40. I don't care if you're 50. I don't care. I don't care how old you are. Put it in the comments. I have an opportunity to become very wealthy. And you do. And you do. You absolutely do. And so this book will help you get there. It'll help you immensely. It'll help you immensely. So grab that one, The Millionaire Next Door. Let me give you another one that'll help you. This is the book that I'm about to show you, book number four. This is the book that Bishop David Oyedepo read, I believe in the 80s, that gave him the realization, I don't ever have to be poor again. I don't ever have to be poor. This, the book that I'm getting ready to show you, is the book that he read that inspired him to go after God's blessing. And it's called, by Gloria Copeland, God's Will is Prosperity, a roadmap to spiritual, emotional, and financial wholeness. Gloria Copeland, God's Will is Prosperity. This book shook him out of a mind. He talks about how revelation is the thing that gives you the ability to be free in an area. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so he said, this is the book. When I read God's Will is Prosperity by Gloria Copeland, it shot me into another place in my spirit where I understood. And he said, he shouted it. I can never be poor. I can never be poor. It gave him the faith to go to the next level. And this book is an excellent book by Sister Gloria Copeland on prosperity. It gives you scriptural insight, scriptural principles. But one of the things that it does for you is it helps you to understand. I mean, look at the title. God's Will is Prosperity. Do you know one of the things that people battle mentally in this journey to experience the blessings of God? One of the things they battle is wondering, well, is it really God's will for everyone to be wealthy? Is it really God's will for everybody to be blessed? Is it really God's will for everybody to be in abundance? And I mean, the enemy will use that to make you feel like, well, you know, I'm really going through it financially, but I know God's teaching me something in this. No, God doesn't have to abuse you to teach you. God doesn't have to abuse you to teach you. Please put that in the comments. God doesn't have to abuse me to teach me. God doesn't have to abuse me to teach me. And the whole title of this book, God's Will is Prosperity. The whole point is to get you to understand it is God's will for all of His children to operate in the overflow. It is God's will for God's children to walk in the overflow. God doesn't have to abuse me to teach me. Well, God's got me in this sickness right now, but He's teaching me a lesson. God doesn't put sickness on you to teach you. Well, God's got me going through this bankruptcy right now, but He's teaching me a lesson through it all. God doesn't have to put you through bankruptcy or poverty or loss in order to teach you a lesson. Does not have to do it, and He doesn't do it because He's not a child abuser. In fact, Jesus deals with that in Matthew chapter 7. And He says, You earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children. Which of you, if your child asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he asked for bread, would you give him a stone? No. Even you earthly sinful fathers know how to give good gifts to your children. So how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to those that ask Him? That's the whole point of that passage. God's a better father than you are. He's a better parent than you are. And every one of you want your kids blessed. How much more does your Father in heaven want you blessed? That's why this book is so vital, so that you understand. And it's not a long book. This book is only 170 pages. 170 pages, but you need to get it in your spirit, because God is a loving and a good and a heavenly Father and a provider. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He's the all-sufficient one. And He wants to bless His children. He wants to bless His children. He wants to bless His children. So this book will help you. This was number 4 on the list. God's Will is Prosperity by Gloria Copeland. If you don't have it, pick it up. Get it. It'll help you a lot. I'll give you another one. This book is not actually about wealth and abundance and prosperity directly, but this one little book may have helped me more than any other indirectly when it came to walking in abundance, and still helps me. Back before there was like ebooks and stuff like that, I used to carry a separate piece of luggage to keep all of my books that I wanted to read while I was on the road. We'd be gone 4 weeks at a time, 6 weeks at a time, and I wanted to take all the books that I wanted to read, and there weren't ebooks, so I would have to bring a separate bag with all my books in it. And one book that I always carried in my briefcase all the time is this book, How Successful People Think, by John Maxwell. How Successful People Think. Now, I'm not often pushing John Maxwell's books. I like them. But this one right here, I felt was extremely important for my life. Because one of the things that you realize, especially as you have the Holy Spirit who teaches you all things, the Bible says, you have no need that any man should teach you, for the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. And this book, How Successful People Think by John Maxwell, goes through different types of thinking. Different types of thinking. Did you know, sometimes, what if God gave you your blessing in the, which He does. What if God gave you your blessing in the form of a seed, which He does. He gives seed to the sower. What if God gave you your blessing in the form of a seed of an idea, a seed of a strategy? You think about that. How come God didn't give Noah an ark? He gave him the strategy to build an ark. Did you ever think about that? God never gave Noah an ark. God didn't give the people of Israel a tabernacle. He gave them instructions to build the tabernacle. He didn't give them the Ark of the Covenant. He gave them instructions to build the Ark of the Covenant. So what if God's blessing for your life is an idea, a leading, instructions, a strategy to take you to the next place? What if God gives you ideas for a business that you've never had before, but that business is God's way of blessing your family and taking you to the next level? He's not just going to, I mean, He might have somebody just give you their business, but what if it's your Holy Ghost idea? As I've shared that story with you before, and it's in my book on fasting and prayer, about the man who had a Holy Ghost idea to build a hunting blind and make it look like an old rotted out tree stump. And now he's a multi-millionaire because he built that one thing that God gave him an idea when he was in his tree stand hunting it before the dawn. And he's praying in the Holy Ghost and God gave him the idea. Well, that idea took him into a multi-million-dollar business. Now he's blessing people all over the world through his nonprofit, all kinds of stuff. Why? One idea from the Holy Ghost. One idea with the Holy Ghost. But again, God gave you your mind, and He gave you the mind of Christ. And so you actually have to use the mind God gave you. You have to take thoughts captive and also think about certain things. So in this book, and it's not long, it's a small mini book, like, you know, it's like 4x6, 5x7, something like that. But it's only 120 pages of 4x6 size. But I kept this with me all the time. Now it's just in my Kindle library. But he goes through 11 different types of thinking that successful people use. Big picture thinking, focused thinking, creative thinking, realistic thinking, strategic thinking, possibility thinking, reflective thinking. And he goes and tells stories and shows how to practically employ all 11 types of thinking that successful. Did you know? And I've told you this before if you don't remember. Because it's not just about giving. It's not just about giving, Dynamic Love Ministries. And that's, if you were here from the beginning, that's why I referenced the first book that I did, Understanding Financial Prosperity by Bishop David Oyedepo, who's in the African bush. He's in Ota, Nigeria, and wrote the best book on prosperity that's ever been written. Because it's not just about giving. So this book teaches you how to employ different types of thought. Did you know that the man who started Chick-fil-A, he would take the first Monday of every month to plan and reflect on the next 40 days of their business, to be strategic, to have ideas, brainstorms, what's going to cause them to move forward. And he'd take a full 8-hour workday to just employ thinking. That's it, thinking. He had his secretary hold all of his calls. He had no meetings, and he would be there in his office strategizing, thinking, planning, brainstorming. And you wonder why. Aaron said, yes, I've had to explain that thinking is actual work. Yeah, that's right. It is. It takes discipline to think properly. And I want you to put that in the, and that's right, Winona. The Bible does say, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So it's not just what you are thinking about, it's also what you're studying to think about. So put it in the comments too, that thinking, proper thinking, takes discipline. Put that in the comments. Proper thinking takes discipline. Takes self-control, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Takes a renewing of your mind. It takes you taking every thought captive. You can allow your time in your mind to be wasted if you don't take thoughts captive. You can just meditate on the wrong things. You can let your mind wander, or you can be successful in disciplining yourself to think properly, to think, to believe properly, to brainstorm properly, to give, the Holy Ghost gives you ideas, plan it properly, strategize it properly, right? And that helps you. I can tell you things that I've done, not only in this ministry, but things before I started this ministry in business that prospered because of this type of thinking. And I had ideas that hit me that like took me to another place of being able to see things in a different way, think about them in a different way, solve problems in a different way, and it ends up making you money. It ends up making you money. You may have never heard this story. When I was a kid growing up in West Virginia, this was, in the 90s when everybody was still really watching VHS tapes on their VCR. You know, and every movie that you rented was, you know, even if you went to Blockbuster, you rented a VHS tape. Some of you are old enough to remember the signs, please be kind, rewind. And they wanted you to, there used to be like a fine if you didn't rewind your videotapes because they had to do it for you. But everybody rented their movies on VHS tapes, which actually had tape inside the casing. And so that, you know, that's why you had to rewind it. Just like a cassette tape, a VHS tape had tape in it. And so one of the problems that our video rental place was having down at the bottom of the hill was that people would rent videotapes from them, and then they would mean to return them to the video rental place, but then they would just leave them in the dashboard of their car, not doing like while they were at work and all of that. And while they would do that, the sun would actually, on those hot summer days, would melt the black case of the VHS. And so it'd be warped, and the case would melt, and it would warp so it wouldn't fit inside the VCR anymore. Well, the other thing that would happen too, some of y'all remember this, sometimes people had dirty heads on their VCR, and it would actually eat the tape, and it would come out crinkled, and you'd take the VCR tape out of the VHS tape out of the VCR, and the tape would be coming out the bottom all crinkled, and it was stuck inside, and you had to get it out. And sometimes people would destroy the tape. Well, it actually cost a lot of money for those video rental stores to get copies for rent of those VHS tapes. And so they were actually losing out on a lot of money if they had to throw those VHS tapes away after people either melted them or destroyed the tape inside. And so I came up with a solution where I said, you know what? I went down to the owner of that place at the bottom of the hill and I said, let me help you. I said, any destroyed melted tapes or destroyed tape, let me fix it for you and I'll bring it back. And all you gotta do is pay me $5. All you have to do is pay me $5 for each VHS tape that I fix for you. Well, I could go down to the corner store, and if you remember, because people used to tape their favorite shows on TV. So you'd put your VHS, your blank VHS in the VCR and hit record, and it would record your shows. And I went down and just bought some blank VHS tapes, which cost me like a dollar to buy a blank VHS tape. So I'd go and buy one for a dollar. And then what I would do is I would take the destroyed one home with the blank one. I would unscrew the case and either take off the melted warped plastic case, pull the tape out, pull the one out of the new one and discard that new tape and just put the tape in the new case, screw it back together, label what movie it was and bring it back to them. If it was the destroyed actual tape inside, I would just open it up and go to the portion of tape, which is probably only about this long, that was destroyed or ripped. I would take scissors and cut it and remove the destroyed part, put it together, and with a piece of scotch tape, I would just put those pieces of tape back together, put it back in the case, screw it, and then I would put the name on it and put it back in and give it to them. And every time someone destroyed a tape, I made $5 because I was able to go and fix it, repair it. That's an idea. That's an idea that can come to you that will cause you to prosper. I was only a kid at the time, so, and in the 90s. So $5 to a kid that doesn't have a job in the 90s, and if you're doing, you know, 10 tapes a week, that's $50. And you have $50 spending money as like a, you know, 13, 14 year old kid in the 90s, you were doing well. You could go to the arcade, get some serious gaming done for $50 and quarters. So there's a lot that you could do. But these are ideas. You can get ideas through what? Proper, disciplined thinking. Ideas from the Holy Ghost, strategizing those ideas, building on those ideas. That's why this book helped me so much. How Successful People Think. And it'll help you too. I highly recommend this one. I think that you should get it immediately. Let me give you the last two before we pray today. This one I got early on in my ministry, and this was a huge help. And Dynamic Power Ministries, or I can't remember the full name that's watching, this may help you as well to answer the question that you had. So Dr. Mike Murdoch wrote a book that's entitled 31 Reasons People Don't Receive Their Financial Harvest. 31 Reasons People Don't Receive Their Financial Harvest. And so this book I got early on in my ministries, like when I was like, before I was 20. I think it was before I was 20. I think I first got this book at 19 years old, which now is 21 years ago. I got this book 21 years ago. Let me see what the actual date when he first printed this, 1997. So I would have gotten this probably right around 2001 or 2002 is when I first got this. 31 Reasons People Don't Receive Their Financial Harvest. And to answer that same question, somebody said, how come people give and aren't blessed? It's not just about giving. And I thought Dr. Murdoch did a wonderful job explaining in this book the different reasons that people don't receive blessing, even if they're givers, even if they're sowers. Why are they not walking in financial blessing and seeing those financial harvests come back to them? And I'll just read you a few of these because they're really interesting. Many do not really believe that God wants them to prosper financially. That's one reason. Many people never dream big enough to require a financial miracle. Some people have never asked for a specific and significant financial harvest. Many rely upon their own abilities instead of the supernatural power of God. I mean, some give only when they feel like it instead of when a man of God inspires them. Many forget or refuse to pay their vows made to God. I mean, there's 31 reasons in here. This is a life changer. This needs to be in every Christian's library. If you don't have it, I would get it. This helped me immensely. Helped me immensely. And came out in 97, but I'm telling you, I've had it for 21 years, and it has definitely helped me a ton. Some refuse to sow consistently. You know, and you're saying, where's my financial harvest? How come I'm not seeing it? It's because people are not staying consecrated or dedicated on a consistent basis. Hey, Pastor Stan, good to see you. Love you, man. So this helped me. This helped my wife and I early on understand God's process and what he expects of his people. And this was a next level one for me, because we would employ these in our life and realize, like, you know, early on, of course, I've always paid my tithes. I've always been faithful doing what God wanted me to do in that way and giving. But it helped me to do other things. Like, for example, see when there were times that God wanted me to do something because a word that was being preached was inspiring my spirit to sow a seed. And rather than waiting, say, well, I already gave this week. No, let the Holy Ghost lead you. And a lot of times when a man of God is preaching and the Lord will inspire you and give you a word to sow, follow that leading. He is trying to help you. He's trying to help you to go to the next level. The Lord is. And so there's so many things I learned from that book that will help you as well. And then let me say this finally. This will help you a lot. The final book, which may be no surprise to you, I'm thinking about doing this as a book for young people that are coming up, because literally, if they just read this, and it is the book of Proverbs, that's number 7, the book of Proverbs has so much financial wisdom in it that if people would literally just abide by principles found in the book of Proverbs, then they would be abundantly blessed. Many people don't. Many people don't even know any financial wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Don't know any. Let me give you a few of those just from the book of Proverbs today. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander or overseer or ruler, but it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in harvest. So what is that talking about? First of all, hard work, preparation, planning, and strategy. Proverbs 6:6-8. Proverbs 10:4. You ready? Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. That's a proverb. Lazy hands bring poverty. That gets laziness out of your life. That's a biblical principle. Lazy people will come to poverty. Diligent people will come to wealth. Amen. That was Proverbs 10:4, yes. Proverbs 12:11. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Proverbs 14:23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. See how much the Bible has to say about laziness and working? Listen to Proverbs 24, verses 33 and 34. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. People don't even understand it. But laziness, okay, that's on laziness and work. What about greed? What about greed? Proverbs 22:16, one who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth and one who gives to the rich both come to poverty. What about debt? What about talking about debt? Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Makes you a slave. Now here's one that I'll give you a personal story on that made me really recognize these. Proverbs 22:26 and 27. Do not be the one who shakes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. I was in Bible school, and this guy that I knew who was very poor with money, very bad with money, he somehow convinced his girlfriend's father to put up, to co-sign for him on a loan for a car. And there's an actual proverb that says, do not basically co-sign on a stranger's debt. There's a proverb that says that. Do not co-sign on a stranger's debt. This guy did it anyway. And the boyfriend was long gone and no one knew where he was and stopped paying the payments on the vehicle. And the father now was stuck with all that debt, stuck with all those payments. Well, if you'd have just listened to Proverbs and not co-sign on a stranger's loan, then guess, or the other one I just read to you a moment ago, Proverbs 22 verses 26 and 27. Don't be the one who shakes hands in a pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your bed will be snatched out from under you. So what happened to that guy? Because he didn't know the man, he was a stranger, but he did it anyway. And all of a sudden, he's stuck with all the debt for the vehicle, stuck with all the payments for the car. All you had to do is read Proverbs and you wouldn't have done that. What about investments? A person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. What about giving? I love this one. Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will also be refreshed. Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Proverbs 28:27. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. I mean, there's so much. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow unto it. There's so much in the book of Proverbs that you could take away. I'm thinking about just writing a book that encompasses those Proverbs regarding finances for young people, so that before they grow up to be a full adult, have their own job, they can have these principles already in their spirit that the Bible teaches already clearly to keep you from a place where you're suffering financially. And we employed these things. We never stopped tithing. We never stopped giving. We were in a lot of credit card debt at the very beginning. It was over our heads hanging. But you know what? We made up our minds. Lord, if you'll help us to get out of this credit card debt, first of all, we'll never stop tithing and we'll never stop giving to your kingdom in the midst of getting out of debt. Now, I'll cut other stuff out. I'll cut out foolish and flippant stuff, but I'll never cut out tithing or giving from my life. Lord, if you'll help me to get out. And it was tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt back then. And we had just gotten married. And I said, Lord, if you'll help us. In less than two years, we were completely out of that credit card debt, completely out. And God blessed us. And he continues to bless us. And I'm so thankful now to see how far the Lord has brought us in 16 years of marriage. God has taken us so far up based on these principles that we've learned from men of God and from the biblical principles that are taught in the books that I'm showing you today. I'm telling you, God took us to different levels. I mean, if you'd have told me even 5 years ago that I would be today where I am, even 3 years ago, if you'd have told me 3 years ago that I would be where I am today, I would have just laughed. I wouldn't have doubted because I'm a believer. I have faith. But to understand that God can take you higher that quickly is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And God will do the same for you. God does not want you to struggle. God does not want you to be in debt. God does not want you to not be able to pay your bill. He wants you in abundance. I want you to finish by putting this in the comments because this is so vital. Please write this. God does not just want to meet my needs. He wants me to overflow. Please put that in the comments, put that in your notes. God does not just want to meet my needs. He wants me to overflow. Amen, Chandra. That's what you got to do. You got to train the next generation up in the way they should go. God does not just want to meet my needs. God wants me to overflow. Please put that in today. God does not want to just meet my needs. God wants me to overflow. And that's exactly right. That is exactly right. How could you even do the things that God wants you to do if you don't have extra, unabundant? How can you bless the poor if you yourself don't have enough to pay your own bills or are just having enough to pay your bills? How could you tithe? How could you give? How could you be a blessing to your generation? It's not possible. It's not possible. And so I want to encourage you today. Get these books. They will help you. Maybe you've read some of them, but not all of them. Get them. They will help you. The best investment you can make is an investment into your own spirit and your own mind, your own life. Invest those principles into your own spirit, into your own mind. Invest into what God has made you to be, what He's called you to be. Amen. And it'll take you. When I tell you, you'll be in the top 1% of believers, and really, literally, people living in your nation. I mean, just by getting out of debt to the place where you're not going paycheck to paycheck. Think about this. Just getting there puts you in the top 10% of Americans. And America is the wealthiest nation on the earth. So think about that. Just getting to the place through supernatural wisdom, obeying the principles of God's word, to the place where you're not in debt and going paycheck to paycheck will put you in the top 10%. And then as you continue to abound and overflow, God will take you higher and higher. There's no ceiling on where God can take you. And I want to pray for those of you today that are watching and listening to me. This is going to help you immensely as you go further. And God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. God wants you to be debt free. God wants you to be in abundance. No question. Father, I pray for every person watching. Pray for all those listening. And I ask you today in Jesus' name that you would give them ideas from the Holy Ghost. I pray that you would give them a spirit of strength to walk in self-control, to do what your word commands us to do, to live by biblical principles, so that we will not just be blessed, our children and our children's children will be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord, today I ask you that you would give them supernatural strategies that would take them to another place. Now, Lord, as we sow seeds, as we continue to be faithful, as we continue to pay our tithes and be diligent and be obedient and live holy, separated unto you, I thank you that your hand of blessing is upon our lives and that we will increase steadily in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would speak a word to every one of us today. Give us instruction about what you'd have us to sow into your kingdom. And as we sow seed, we thank you that increase is quickly coming. In Jesus' name, amen. And at the end of this broadcast, I am going to encourage you to sow a seed today. You know how to do that. You can go to miracleword.com. All the digital ways to give are there. But I want you to do something that takes faith to do as you're standing with us. Again, we leave tomorrow for the final tent meeting of the year in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. And for everybody that's sowing today, in the month of August, I'm going to send you Pastor Mark Hankins' book, The Bloodline of a Champion. And it's about the blood of Jesus, 350 pages of powerful revelation on the blood of Jesus. And if you'd like to receive this, go to miracleword.com. Put the slide up, Maddie. Miracleword.com /offer so that you can get, it's the one that's under the offer. Yeah. So they can see where to go. There it is. And you can see that website there. If you fill out the form, it tells us where to send the book so that we can get it to you. It's our gift to say thank you for sowing in the month of August. And then for everybody that's sowing $1,000 or more this month, we're also including with that the Net Study Bible as our way of saying thank you. 60,000 translators notes, my favorite study tool right now, and it'll help you immensely. And I say a big thank you. Don't forget, the Victory Tribe Homecoming Weekend is about to hit October the 28th and 29th. And I think we're full. I don't know for sure, but I think the banquet is now full. And if you need to get a hotel room, you can still check with them and see if they have room rates available. Jenna's trying to get more. I don't know if we have any more, but we're at the Renaissance Hotel in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a phenomenal weekend. Friday night, Holy Ghost service. Saturday, brunch, we're hanging out. I've got things to share with you. Do not miss it. Carolyn's back today at 2 o'clock p.m. Don't miss her broadcast. I love you all very much, and I'll see you again from North Carolina starting on Monday at 10:30 a.m. Have a great one. I'll talk to you soon.
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.